How can I get more eyes in front of what I'm doing? Okay, I have to make it relevant to whoever I want to share it or repost it. Okay, so if the artist is on my show, it's likely that they'll repost it, right? Okay, they have 200,000 followers. Oh, I can get in front of these 200,000 followers if I do a great interview with this artist or this personality.
Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, where businesses and brands can amplify their expertise. I'm Jason Gilligan, CEO of Earfluence, and today we're talking about building your personal brand. With me is Asia Sky. Asia, what's happening?
Hey, Jason. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. We met at a panel at UNC maybe a month or so ago, and it was so much fun. Asia is a DJ on 97.5 here in the Triangle area, podcaster, Hip Hop DX, a lot of things. And one of the ways she's been able to do all that is because she built her personal brand.
This is true.
All right, Asia. So how did you get into media? How did you get discovered? Did you already build your brand prior to getting into the DJ world?
It kind of coincided. And also, I would say on-air personality as opposed to DJ.
Okay.
I know a lot of people use them interchangeably. But DJ, I don't have the technical skills to hop on the turntables, but I do speak on air. So yeah, personality / DJ, whichever one you want to call it. But yeah, how I got into the media world, it all originally started at North Carolina Central University, let me specify, the illustrious North Carolina Central University. You have to put the illustrious in front of it. Anybody that went to NCCU. Yeah, we say that. But yeah, it all started at NCCU. I was a communications major, mass communications, broadcast media. So while I was there, we had this radio station on campus called AudioNet. So one of my classmates was like, yo, you should try to get a show on AudioNet. And I'm like, okay, so who do I talk to? He's like, talk to DL. So I go to the faculty member named DL. She is amazing, so helpful. And she was like, okay, what do you want your show to be about? So I told her I want my show to be about pop culture, what's going on in the media, current events, just whatever's trending, we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. So I had the show, and the whole thing was, we're going to give our unadulterated opinions. Like, we're just going to call it how we see it. We're going to talk about what's happening, and we're going to call it like we see it, and it's going to be called Rated A, which is a play like off of kind of like Rated R or whatever the rating that they give something. A piece of media or content, and it was Rated A for Asia Sky, obviously.
Got it.
So, yeah. So I got my show Rated A on AudioNet at NCCU. My co-host and I, DJ B Poetic was his name. He was an actual DJ, but he was also a personality as well. So we would just chime in on all of these different topics. And that's my official radio start right there.
Nice. And so do you have like a social media presence at this point when you're at Central, or is that a little
early?
Not
a big one. I mean, I was on social media. I was definitely on social media while I was at Central. I was on social media probably since maybe middle school, dating back to like the Facebook days and the MySpace days. I was on MySpace in elementary school.
Okay.
So if we want to go that far back, that was when my social media presence started. But as far as within a media context, I would say that started right there at Central.
Gotcha.
As far as me as a personality, per se.
It's so interesting. And I think we talked about this on the panel, is there's so many resources available to college students specifically, but anybody that wants to be involved in their college, to leverage that to go be a personality on a show, or to work as a videographer on a show, or whatever it might be. There's so many things that you can do with a local university.
You can immerse yourself in so many different things. Like, even just outside of media itself, I was seeing some of my classmates, like the fashion students, they were getting the opportunity to style different teams or clubs and things on campus. So whatever you're involved in, there's ways to do that thing and get that exposure on campus, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, Central is awesome, but I know Wake Tech does a great job with that type of stuff as well, in whatever industry that you want to be involved in. Yeah. So you started getting these reps with your co-host, rated A.
Yes.
what was that like? And was it, were you making a bunch of mistakes in the beginning?
Of course. Of course. You know, I was. And the interesting thing about that was our campus station. So
yeah.
That was not the same necessarily as terrestrial radio. Like when you go work for a company, a terrestrial radio station, I didn't realize that that was completely different from like college radio, at least how ours was set up. Yeah. Because the way ours was set up was, hey, get on the mic, talk about whatever you want to talk about, play music. There was no necessarily any time constraints that we had to work under. There wasn't commercials playing that we had to factor in. Mm-hmm. There wasn't all these restrictions and guidelines. So we're just getting up there saying whatever we want to, essentially. Yeah. And that's not how it really works when you go to work in the terrestrial radio world. So I think it was great to start off in that way, though, because it kind of makes you less fearful to say what you want to say on the mic. When you get your start that way, as opposed to if I was to jump right into interning at a different radio station outside of the school, there maybe wouldn't have been that level of freedom.
Yeah.
Not even maybe. There wouldn't have been that level of freedom. So it was great to start off with that freedom. But then once I got more exposure outside of that, I realized like, okay, there's a real structure to this and fast time constraints that you have to abide by in radio.
Yeah.
So I kind of got like the best of both worlds in that sense, being able to start out wild and free and then having to come in and be like, okay, so this is how it really works outside of in the real world.
Yeah. In podcasting, you're going to say some dumb things. just this morning, I was recording an interview with somebody. I thought his name was Chris Leith for sure. I thought his name was Chris Leith. And at the end, he's like, no, it's Chris Lythe. I was like, oh man, I messed that up the entire time. And so you're gonna make mistakes. You're going to say some dumb things. Do you look back on any of those things that you said when it, like the consequences weren't, you know, very much?
Let me think back. Did I say anything dumb back then? Probably a bunch, probably so much so that nothing particular stands out. It probably was such a common occurrence in the beginning. And I think one thing that is kind of tough in the beginning when you're first doing radio is kind of transitioning in and out of talking moving on to the next subject or the next segment or the interview, like those things, just not having that flow, I would say was probably my toughest thing in the beginning. Like just trying to figure out how to hop from segment to segment or segue into different things. Like that's stuff you learn later down the line. So when you're doing it early on, you're kind of fumbling all over the place. There was a lot of that, like of not really knowing how to go to the next thing. There was a lot of that. So as far as like kind of outwardly dumb statements that just stand out, I don't have one, but yeah, a lot of fumbling around in the beginning for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So at Central, are you starting to get recognized once you have this show?
It was interesting because there was no video component whatsoever. Oh, yeah. So unless you already knew who I was, like we already knew each other off campus, then you probably wouldn't have put two and two together like, oh, hey, that's the girl from the radio show, because there's no video component. Yeah. So it's just like a voice you hear. Now, somebody might hear you and be like, hey, are you on the campus show? Are you on the campus radio? And then you'll be like, okay, yeah. But there was no like large amount of recognition at that particular time. But as I was there and like building my social media presence, I would say the recognition might have came more from that than it did the actual radio show itself.
Yeah. So take us from Central to 97.5. How did that all happen?
And it's crazy because it all ties in together. So while I was at Central, one of my professors, Brett Chambers, shout out to Chambers, he said, hey, you should speak to the people over at this radio station, K97.5. You should speak to one of the personalities and one of the DJs. He's like, talk to this guy named Brian Dawson and talk to this guy named DJ Wade Banner. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to talk to them? Like, I don't know them like that. Like, how am I supposed to talk to them? He said, find out when the radio station is having an event. Go to the event, introduce yourself and say, hey, I'm a mass comm student at Central. Brett Chambers told me to speak to you and see if, you know, you'd teach me anything about radio or if I could come up to the station, maybe see how things work. Kind of like a, you know, bring your kid to work day, except I'm a person you totally don't even know. Can we do something like that? And he told me to like go do that and meet up with them, talk to them and see what they say. So just so happened that the radio station was having an event at South Point Mall, which is not far from Central. Mm-hmm. within the next few days or weeks. It was a very close time frame. And I pulled up to the event. I went over to them. I said, hey, I'm Asia. I'm a mass comm student at Central. My professor, Brett Chambers, told me to talk to you. Now, they know Brett already. So they're like, okay, cool. Like, well, what's up? What are you trying to do? And I'm like telling them the whole spiel, how I want to be on the radio. And I love media. I love interviews, all of that. And I was like, is there any advice you could give me? And then they gave me whatever advice it was at the time and what I should do, next steps, kind of things, steps I should take to break into radio. And I was like, well, would you mind like showing me around the radio station? And they were like, yeah, cool. Send an email, set it up. And one day you can come up there and we'll show you around and show you how everything works. So I went up there. They showed me around. I was like, ooh, this is amazing. I was so impressed with seeing everything because our college radio station
right.
versus, you know, their radio station was like, oh, you guys have multiple studios in here. Like, this is super cool.
Yeah.
So they showed me around and then I just never left. Mm. Essentially, that's the short version of it.
That's
just
awesome.
Never left. They never got rid of me after that.
It's so interesting you said a networking event because building your personal brand can be as small as going to a networking event.
Right.
You know, you think about personal brand, you think about social media, but if you're going up to a networking event and introducing yourself, how are you presenting yourself? And then what are the questions that you're asking? And I love that you didn't say, I would love to be a on-air personality for you. Mm-hmm. All you said was, what advice can you give me about becoming an on-air personality? What advice can you give me about breaking into radio?
Right.
So, you know, that was super smart that you did that. And then you asked for a tour. Like, it's an easy yes. Mm-hmm. If you hadn't said, can I give you my resume? That's mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know.
That's high pressure. That's
yeah.
high pressure.
Yeah.
You want to put as low pressure on people as possible and make it easy for them. They're going to be at the radio station every day anyway. So why not give me a tour? You're going to yeah. be there. I'm not asking you to go out of your way, essentially too far out of your way, at least. I mean, it does take work to show someone around, but it's not like they weren't going to be there already at the radio station. So
right.
it's just, my thing was always make it as easy as possible for people to say yes to you.
Mm, that's really smart. So did you start off as an on-air personality at 97.5?
No, I didn't
okay.
actually. Yeah, so continuing the story of how I never left. So they showed me the radio station that day. And then I was like, okay, well, what event do you guys have next? And they were like, we have this college tour coming up. And the college tour is where they go to different colleges. They bring the DJ out. He's playing music. The personality is on the mic. There's prizes, giveaways. We may give away concert tickets. Like, all of that goes down at the college tour. So they're like, we have this college tour coming up. I'm like, okay, so can I come help out with that? And they're like, yeah, of course.
right.
Free extra help. Who doesn't yes. want that?
yeah.
So I began helping out with the college tour. So whether it be setting up the prizes on the tables or running to get whatever they might need, taking pictures, getting social media content, just whatever they needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of like worked my way in as like a continuous presence. So every event they're at, they're like, oh, you're here again. Like, yeah, not without permission. I'm like, you know, asking like, what do you guys
yeah.
need? So it's not like I just showed up everywhere when they had no knowledge of it. It was just like, okay, we have this coming up. Let's get Asia to help. Oh, we have this coming up. Let's get Asia.
Yeah.
And then eventually I went through the whole college tour with them. And then there would be certain things going on at the actual radio station. So mm-hmm. they may have an interview and they're like, hey, can you come get social media coverage for this interview we have? We have this artist or that artist. So I'll be getting social media clips, pictures, whatever they need.
Yeah.
And then I would also be getting my own too. So after, you know, whichever rapper comes to the station, hey, we got our pics. Asia, you want to get a pic? You want to get a quick, you know, video drop or whatever, they would incorporate me into it as well. So then I just, like I said, became an ongoing presence at the station.
Yep. That's smart too. Like, that's something I don't remember to do every single time with a podcast interview mm-hmm. is make sure we get a picture afterwards, just
right.
standing up together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so simple. And those are the things that are very effective. Wow. So when did you start to actually be
job?
Employed?
Yeah. yes, right. You're like, okay, so you were working for free.
Right.
Yes. So I bogarted into an unofficial internship. And then it became, okay, well, we need someone to what we call voice tracking, which is recording a radio show and an air slot ahead of time.
Okay.
So let's say the show is from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. If you voice track it, you might record it at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And you're pre-recording it for that time later on.
Right.
So that's what voice tracking is.
I remember you saying this at the panel too.
Yes, yes. I explained
this
there.
Tricky. Yeah.
Yes, because you say that term and people are like, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
So I got to explain it. But yeah, so I began what's called voice tracking the late shift. So the shift that no one would be on there talking at that time, like maybe it was like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like no one's up at that time physically in the radio station talking.
Okay.
So it would usually just be music, but the program director at the time was like, okay, you want to be on air, we'll let you voice track the late night. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it's not as high stakes, you still have to care what you sound like, but it's like, you're just starting out. So this will be a good way to get your feet wet. You can voice track from like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. So I began voice tracking, and that's when I started getting paid. It's like, okay, now
right.
I was in a contract role then, because it wasn't like ongoing on every day, but
yeah.
whenever we need you to voice track, you can voice track, or you can even start to begin to cover someone else's shifts. So this is when it's like, it's not official employee, but I'm on contract. I'm getting paid for the work that I'm doing now.
Oh, so you were live sometimes when you were covering somebody else's shift?
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
so at once I started
there?
Doing good. Yeah. Once I started doing good voice tracking, they were like, okay, so-and-so is going to be out on this day. Can you cover for them? So then I just became the person that just covered for anybody whenever they were out.
Yeah.
And then that's how I began to get my own position.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, is there somebody there, like a program manager from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.?
Like, oh, no, no one's in the studio.
No one's there.
No.
So I just think things could go wrong. I mean, if it's just running on air.
Pre-recorded? No, they're pretty tight with the way that things are programmed. So
okay.
there's enough music in to where what's going to play will play at the appropriate time. The commercials will play at the appropriate time. It's very common in radio. You might think people
okay.
are there all the time when they're not really there. They might have an event, a hosting. Yeah. Radio. That's a little radio secret for you. Every time you guys hear someone talking, they may not be in the studio. A lot of the time, day to day, you know, the usual, the normal standard is being there live. But there are instances where people are not there live.
Yeah. Now I know.
Yeah.
So while you're starting to be an on-air personality and voice tracking.
Yes.
Are you also thinking about your personal brand, you know, to be able to take that next step and have Asia Sky be more in demand
yes.
for, you know, the cushier time slots?
Yes, yes. So all while this radio journey is happening, I'm also building a social following. Like I was just constantly getting more and more followers on social media. And I was like, okay, well, I do want to have my own show at some point. I don't know when that's going to happen radio-wise. So I started creating my own interview series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was like, okay, I will increase my brand awareness this way and do something that I already want to do. I already want to have my own show and series. So why not create it for myself and do that in addition to this radio thing? So that's what I began doing with Rated A, because I was no longer doing it at the
uh-huh.
at Central on AudioNet. So I'm like, okay, let's take Rated A and let's make it a video interview series.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of guests with that. Really only like maybe like two or three episodes of that. And
they're
then,
good though.
And then but Rated A turned into then flipped into the Come Up.
Yes. Okay. I've
yes.
seen the Come Up.
So that's where the brand really started to take off personally is when Rated A switched into the Come Up.
It's a great name.
Yeah. The Come Up. Everybody has their own personal come up.
Yep.
So if we're exploring different stories of different rappers, singers, business people, executives, comedians, everybody can relate to a come up story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we focused with those interviews. And that really got a lot of great exposure.
And so was this on your own? Was this with the radio station? Like, how did that?
That was on my own.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I want an interview series.
Yeah.
No one is saying, hey, Asia, here's an interview series. So I'm like, let me just create it. And that involved a lot of like cold reaching out to people, to the guests on the show, leveraging relationships and saying, hey, I know that you know this person. I'm getting this interview series off the ground. Do you mind just giving me their contact? I'm not even going to ask you, person in the middle, to ask for the favor.
Right.
I'll just, can I get their contact? And I'll reach out to them. I don't even have to bring you into it if you don't want me to.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of cold reaching out to different artists and people that I was trying to get in the series. But a lot of people, to their credit, were just like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have a show or a podcast mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And that's yeah. one of the sneakier things. It's great for business development because you can say, hey, do you want to come on my podcast versus mm-hmm. can we have a conversation about my product or service or whatever right. it is?
Yeah.
Of course you want to come on my podcast. Everybody likes to hear about themselves, yes. right?
Yeah, love to hear yourself themselves talk. And they love to push whatever it is they're selling or promoting. So, yeah. hey, if I have a chance to come talk about my album or your podcast, sure, why not? Or if I am somebody who's trying to like break out in this market or trying to get more exposure in this market and you have say-so in this market, why not come on your show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing I'm noticing is you're just not afraid to make the ask. Like you went ahead and went to a networking event that you didn't know anybody at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just started asking rappers or whoever that you wanted to interview, like, come on my show. I don't really yes. know you, but you know, I'm Asia Sky with 97.5 mm-hmm. and you know, I have this new show called Rated A or The Come Up.
Come up
yeah. You'd be an amazing guest. Have you always had no fear?
Thinking back on it, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, when I think back on it, I'm just like, oh yeah, I was always kind of like, just do it. Like, just go for it. But also having a plan in mind, because that was always something too. It was never like spur of the moment. Like when I would ask people to come on The Come Up, it wouldn't just be in casual passing. Like, hey, want to do my show? I have a show. Like it would mm-hmm. be, okay, how can I make this relevant to this person?
Mm.
Or how can I get them on board with what it is? And when I speak on what it is, they get on board because essentially it's like, there's no roadmap to this, this creative career that we're in, this media industry, podcasting, any creative industry, there's not really a hard roadmap to it.
And it's true.
When I would approach people about doing the show, I'm like, hey, like, listen, I know when you became an artist or when you became a TV host, there was no roadmap for that. So what this is kind of a roadmap for people that want to do the same thing that you're doing or that are inspired by your journey
yeah.
and want to know what you went through to get where you are. This is for everyone else. And when you explain the utility of what you're doing to people and they're on board with that cause, then they're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's so great. Yeah, and I've realized that your personal brand, you don't have to feel like you're the 100% expert at something. You've got to be 10% better than what other people know about your particular niche or industry.
Right.
Like for you, you're not the absolute expert in all rappers mm-hmm. or how to be an on-air personality or anything. You're certainly way better than anybody else. And so that's part of, or most people, that's part of your personal brand.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So with The Come Up, is there an episode that stands out that's most memorable?
Yes. I would have to say it's the first one that I ever put out. And I just love this episode so much because it got so much exposure and it started getting other people on board. But more than it was getting other people on board to come on the show, there were people who were telling me like, hey, I watched that interview. I got so inspired.
Really?
That was like one of the most inspirational interviews. One of our favorite interviews with this artist. And this artist was doing a lot of interviews at the time. So uh-huh. I was just like, wow. And it's the episode with DaBaby, the rapper DaBaby. And it was just like a landmark first episode for me because I posted it to my YouTube, promoted it on my social media. And I'm like, okay, let's see if we can get like 1,000 views.
Yeah.
Like that was like the most super ambitious thing for me. I'm like, if I can get like a couple hundred people to watch it from social media
yeah.
and then maybe they'll share it and maybe it can get up to 1,000. Like that was my thing. I'm like, we get 1,000, woof, we made it. We're off to the races.
Yeah.
Like a couple days went by. It was like at 10,000 views. I was
wait,
hold on. This is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so fast. It happened so fast. And this is without like any prior episodes of that show. Like
yeah.
this was the first episode, just me promoting it on social media. There was no like big, super big push. It was just me promoting it on socials. It went to YouTube, started growing organically. And ultimately, the views just kept going up and up and up and up. And eventually, it hit 100,000. I'm just like, whoa, like, this is insane.
Dang.
When I tell you, I did not expect that. And then, yeah, it ultimately just kept going up. I think it hit like 300. And again, this was the first episode of the show. So it was just like,
yeah. That is wild.
Insanity. When I say an insane start to it, like, and that's still the biggest episode till this very day. So
yeah,
I would have to call that one my favorite, just because that one, it took off so crazily. It inspired so many people from what they told me. And then also it kind of gives you that extra push that you need, or that extra stamp where you're like, okay, hey, I can do this thing on my, mm-hmm. on my own. Like, I can get these interviews and really impact people with them. Like, that was just the best possible way it could have started.
Yeah. Awesome. So you've got no fear. you started a video series, yes, to build your personal brand. Like, what else are you doing to build your own personal brand?
To build my personal brand, it involves a lot of what this story started out with, which is networking.
Yeah.
Like, just going to different places where you know people within your industry who operate in the similar space as you are, and talking to those people. Because one of the things you realize is, like, you don't know what's out there until you're exposed to it. So there could be tons of opportunities in whatever space you're in that you have no clue about, that your mind can't even conceive, because you don't know it yet. You haven't been exposed to it. So mm-hmm. getting exposed, and in the process of getting exposed, you're building your brand because you're exposing people to you and who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
Because even on the panel that we were on together, you might not have known about me before then. But now we did the panel and you're like, okay, now I want to come on my podcast. That is a form of brand building, by even doing that panel and doing that event. It wasn't my first panel, but it was my first panel in regards to radio specifically.
Yeah.
That I had done. So if I wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't be on this podcast. So it's just like getting out there and exposing yourself to what's available out there. And in that process, you're exposing your brand to people as well.
Yeah, that's so true. And if Mir had said no to the podcast that I invited her on, we would never been introduced, because she was the one that connected us.
Right, exactly. So it's all of that interconnectedness that helps push the brand forward as well. Also, like, on the social tip, like, I think what I'm working on is getting more into the other arenas that are not already working for me. Like, if Instagram's already working well for me, I'm just going to focus on Instagram.
Okay.
Or if Twitter's working well for me, whatever, YouTube, like, those lanes, if it's going great, I'm like, okay, let's keep putting more into this. But yeah. I think for me, expanding more into the things that aren't already up and running is a big place of focus. So, like, TikTok and other platforms, and Twitch and streaming, like, I want to get into those as well,
yeah,
to kind of further the brand, because I'm sitting on a lot of content, which I'm really excited to, like, put out there and put it onto mediums that I'm not necessarily as on as heavily.
Yeah.
And I think that'll help propel the brand forward even more.
You're so right. And we've got so much content as well. Like, mm-hmm. you've got so much content that you can repurpose as short form videos,
right,
from your show. We've got the same thing, where short form wasn't a thing for, how long has it been? Like, 8 months, 12 months or so,
right,
that it's been a big thing. Mm-hmm. And we've got so much content that we haven't repurposed for short form, for TikTok, for Reels, for YouTube Shorts, mm-hmm. that we should. And
exactly.
And so, like, yes, that all the content that you already have, it's probably a wealth,
right,
of content.
And even if you go on YouTube Shorts today, you'll see interviews from 10 years ago. You'll see things from boundless yeah. time. Like, and it's so interesting how that works. It's because back in the day, it was like, okay, you put something out once, people watch it, that's the end of it. Now yeah. it's like, no, you can bring back something you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago. And then with me, there's also content that hasn't even been put out yet. So there's interviews that I've done, whether it be with Hip Hop DX or whether it be with K97.5, that haven't even come out for whatever reason at the time, whether it got scrapped or whatever yeah. the case was. So there's untapped content, and then there's also content that's easily repurposable as well. So.
Yeah.
definitely looking forward to putting that out there.
That's good stuff. You mentioned the networking piece and just constantly being out there. And the perception can be the reality of that and help build your personal brand. Like when I talk to people and get a coffee with them or a virtual coffee, they're always like, I feel like you're everywhere. And I'm not. I'm a homebody for the most part. I've got three kids. Like, you know, if I'm anywhere, it's at their volleyball game or at their gymnastics. But, you know, we do some events. And so when we do, I am loud about it because, you know, I need to have people think that I am everywhere at all times. Right. And I think you're doing the same thing, right?
Yes, you're exactly right on that. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They think like you're out and about every week. I can't tell you how many people ask me like, okay, what's going on tonight? Uh-huh. And I'm just like, what makes you think that I am out every single night? Like, what makes you think that? And it's just like, because when they do see me, that's what I'm doing or that's where I'm at. But they don't realize like there was a week between these two events. They just, okay, I saw you that time, you were at an event. I saw you this time, you're at an event. So you're always at an event. At an event. So I think that's a lot of it. Letting people know when you do have something going on or showcasing, hey, this is how this event went, or hey, this is how this interview went. Mm. And then the next time they see you, you're interviewing somebody else. Next thing you know, they have somebody coming through the city. They have an artist coming. They're like, hey, Asia, can you interview them?
Right.
We always see you doing interviews, even though I might not have had an interview all month.
Right.
In their mind, I'm always doing interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about another form of perception here. And that's, you know, public relations. And, you know, historically, you hire a publicist, let's say, to get on news or articles or podcasts or TV shows or whatever. So how do you think of a PR strategy for building a personal brand?
Now, that's an interesting one because I feel like my strategy with it came from a really organic place because I wasn't in the world of like, okay, this is how you market a podcast or this is how you market an interview show. I kind of like just looked at it strategically, like, okay, so how can I get more eyes in front of what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to make it relevant to whoever I want to share it or repost it. Okay, so if the artist is on my show, it's likely that they'll repost it, right? Okay, they have 200,000 followers. Oh, I can get in front of these 200,000 followers if I do a great interview with this artist or this personality that they like enough to share it with their following. If I can make this that good, then I'll get in front of this amount of people. I'll get in front of these 200,000 people.
Right.
And then when it comes to other outlets posting it, once they see another relevant outlet posting it after the artist posted it or whoever it is, the TV personality, then they'll pick it up. So it's like this snowball effect. So it's like getting your content into places that are deemed credible or relevant.
Yeah.
And then everybody's cherry picking each other's content anyway and resharing it and repurposing it. So getting it to a legitimate source that people tune into and then watching other sources pick that up was kind of the stance that I came into it with.
Yeah. But don't you have, you've got relationships with like IndieWeek and some other publications that you can send that information to pretty quickly, right?
Right. Yes. And that's another part of it, which is why I say like, make it relevant to what they have going on. Because, for example, one of the young ladies who was on our panel, Kaisha, she works for IndieWeek or works with IndieWeek, I should say. And she was doing a piece on podcasts, hip hop podcasts that are based in North Carolina. Now, I was doing a podcast with Hip Hop DX at the time called DX Daily, and it made perfect sense for our podcast to be involved in it. It was relevant to what was already happening there. So there's not a lot of trying to twist people's arm into sharing your content because it's relevant to what they're doing and what they have going on. So I think my strategy is like being in those places, having those relationships in place already, but also being in a space where you're making it relevant to whatever it is that these publications are posting and sharing.
Yeah, definitely. And what I've learned with publications is they are hungry for content. Like,
right.
They need to feed the beast, and there's a lot of pressure on them to come up with that content. Sometimes if you send a reporter like Kai or whoever information, they are very grateful for it. And if you can make it super simple for them, mm-hmm. and not necessarily write the article for them, but like summarize, like, yeah. here's what it is.
Spell
here's
it
the
out.
Hook. Make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. Don't just say like, are you interested in X? It's like, are you interested in X? Here's the rest of it.
Right. You know? This is why.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why. And this is how it makes sense for what you have. You're doing an art. You're doing a write-up about a podcast. Hey, here's a podcast that's on an international media outlet.
Right.
And it's based right here in North Carolina. This is perfect.
Yeah. 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 I think Gret Beat here has done an amazing job with that. WRL TechWire has done a good job with that.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, they need the content. Give them the content
right,
if you think it might be relevant,
and send it to the relevant places, because like, let's say it's a community event that you're mm. hosting as a radio personality. That's perfect for an ABC 11 or a WRL or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they, and a lot of the community turns out and shows up to this event. That's something they may be interested in.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't pitch a club hosting, nightclub hosting. Like, hey, I'm going to be at this nightclub. Wanna have WRL come out here? Like that makes zero sense. So that's what I mean when I say make it relevant to the outlet that you're pitching to.
Right. Well, you've done an amazing job building a personal brand. Any other advice that you can give to our listeners?
When building your personal brand, I think it's great to have it actually align with who you are.
Yeah.
So if you are in a space like, okay, we just use the nightclub example. Like if you're hosting nightclubs and your brand is party, 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 then, or your what you do is party, 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 then maybe don't have the brand for kids, or don't have a, like, you know, don't have a wellness brand, and like your brand or who you are personally is like turn up, turn up, turn up.
Right.
You know, it's have it aligned with what you are actually into and what you yeah. like to do, what you're interested in, what you're passionate about. Like my brand is about music and media because that was something that I was always passionate about. I don't know, even know what the term for it is, a daily consumer of music and media. Like I'm listening to music hours out of the day. Like if I'm not working or if I'm not engaged in conversation with somebody, like I'm listening to music. So
yeah.
I would just always be consuming music, hip hop, R&B, all types of different genres, but mainly hip hop and R&B. So of course it makes sense that I work for a hip hop and R&B radio station
yeah.
and I work for an international hip hop media outlet. Like that's perfect alignment with my brand.
Yeah.
So I think just having whatever your brand is align with the lifestyle that you actually lived will make your journey so much easier.
Right. Yeah. Podcasting and raising three young kids. I'm not going to the club, so I probably shouldn't be promoting, you know, Sky Vodka or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I said Sky Vodka. I was like, wait, I'm talking to Asia Sky right here.
Yeah, I don't own that. I wouldn't be working, I don't think, if I own that. I'd just be, you know, kicking back with my billions.
Asia, thank you so much for coming on the show. How can our listeners or viewers engage with you, see your shows, listen to you, all those different things?
Yes, yes. Okay, so you can tune into me on the weekends on K97.5, Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's every weekend. Also, if you have a small business that operates within the Triangle, I do shout out businesses in the Triangle every single weekend. So that's one of the new things that I've been doing that I'm really excited about, is just shining light on all of these cool businesses we have here.
Nice.
So I have people call me up every Sunday and we shine light on their businesses. So if you or anyone you know has a business, definitely get in contact with me. You can find me on social media. I am at Asia Sky on all platforms. A-S-H-I-A is how you spell Asia. I know there's a, you know, people have trouble with that. That H throws people off.
Uh-huh.
So it's A-S-H-I-A, Sky, S-K-Y-E, and that's Asia Sky on everything. So Instagram, Twitter, Spill, YouTube, all the platforms at Asia Sky. And you can tap into my radio show. And if you call in, you know, we'll shout your business out.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an awesome conversation.
Oh, I forgot one thing. Another place people can find me. I forgot a huge place people can find me. You can also find me on the Hip Hop DX YouTube, doing audio for all of the hip hop news stories. And their channel's at, I believe, like a million something followers now. So yeah, big things. So find me on the Hip Hop DX YouTube as well. Listen to the radio show. Check out my YouTube series. Just type in Asia Sky and find
She's everywhere.
And find me, yeah.
She's everywhere. Well, thank you, Asia.
thank you so much for
listening to the Earfluence podcast. We're going to have all the links that Asia mentioned in the show notes. Make sure you give her a call. Have your business shout out on 97.5 on Sundays. That is so cool. All right. Well, if you are interested in full service podcast production, guesting on podcasts, make sure you contact us. We're at earfluence.com or at Earfluence Media. I'm Jason Gilliken, and we'll see you again soon on the Earfluence Podcast.